if you are making a change, I would encourage you to go all in, because those little, oh, I might come back, or I'm gonna, you know, leave this thing open just in case, that is a piece of your intention and your energy that is tied to the past and that is preventing you from being 100% present in this.
These memories were not tied to my highest expression and how I see myself now. Energetic, almost like sandbags holding me to who I used to be rather than who I was stepping into.
The alchemical magic that was that time of releasing everything and completely purging our identities and our patterns and our comfort and our lives. And what it really came down to is this realization of, I am outsourcing a part of my identity, happiness, pain, etc., onto something.
I was relying on other things to shape the identity of who I remembered myself to be, rather than allowing myself to be who I am in the moment and releasing these objects that had parts of our identity tied to it. It helped me see who I really was.
Core lesson number one of this journey was, nothing outside of me is me, and I can literally let go of and did every single thing around me and live in a tiny little trailer with just the necessities and be the fullest expression of who I really am.
We're not meant to be attached to things or physical property. We are here to steward for a season or for a lifetime, as long as God asks us to.
Just because something is hard or uncomfortable or challenging does not mean that it is wrong or bad. In fact, I have a radical theory that the hardest thing is the thing you should dive into headfirst. We have done that for years now, and it has resulted in us overcoming every single one of our fears. Sit down. What scares you the most? Commit to doing that. And I promise you, at the end of that, you will be more free.
I learned through years of suffering that the pain, the mental illness, the grief, everything that comes from being comfortable, it is not worth, in the grand scheme of things, the short amount of time that suffering exists to challenge ourselves to be a better version of ourselves. In that small amount of time, the suffering, while it can be acute in many ways, it actually results in a stronger us, rather than just living a life of low-grade suffering.
I would really encourage you, if you are going to go on any type of journey, even if it's just getting rid of some item in your life that you're super attached to, or selling everything you own and doing this journey, don't give up, because it is always the darkest right before. And I have seen infinite examples in my life of people who start to make the decision and then think that they can't possibly handle the discomfort and they give up. Don't give up. Keep pushing through that discomfort.
Welcome home to the Loving Consciously podcast.
My name is Amaris.
And my name is Eric.
And if you are like us, nobody taught you how to love. We are best friends and life partners here to vulnerably and authentically share our journey while exploring the sacred realms of love, consciousness, relationships, spirituality, and all that they encompass.
The intention of this show is to help you consciously relate to yourself, others, and everything else in this universe. Together, we can embody a more intentional and fulfilling way of giving and receiving love.
Loving consciously. Through 8 years together, we have had the opportunity to overcome deep patterning and programming, as well as trauma related to mental health, addiction, pregnancy loss, infidelity, and immense grief. After 6 years of experiencing these challenges with no knowledge on how to heal or love each other, we separated.
After us both spiritually awakening and recommitting, we formed our conscious partnership and have spent the last 2 years cultivating a divine union founded on unconditional love, devotion, and commitment to personal growth.
Thank you for joining us and doing the work alongside us as we explore this beautiful world of love and consciousness to co-create a new world of love.
As you courageously walk this path, remember to have grace with yourself and know that you have both the capacity to love consciously and the power to always choose love.
Blessed day, and welcome back to the Loving Consciously podcast.
We are so excited to have you here with us today. We have a very special episode in store for you.
Today is the day we are finally talking about our RV journey. This is going to be a very powerful and very diverse episode. We are going to cover the whole thing, and it's going to really be in kind of two parts, which is going to be leading up to the journey and the journey itself. What we learned and some of the beautiful experiences we had, some of the challenges we faced, and just really, really profound and potent lessons that came out of this, you know, how to be self-sustaining, how to overcome consumerism and escapism and attachments, how to live this life, and the beautiful people we met along the way. You know, something that we reflected on the other day was we have seen more of this country than any sitting president, and really than probably 99% of the people in this country. To say that you have seen every single state and national park is pretty wild. We are talking about the lower 48 states here and the landlocked national parks. So there are four that we didn't get to see that are islands because we're not taking our RV off the coast. But so yeah, I think we can just start by how the heck we got here, because it's a really beautiful story and there's a lot of really profound lessons that we learned along the way. And so this lightning idea, if you will, came to us years before we did the journey. It was actually when my father had passed. And we had actually a few different times almost bought a trailer as kind of like a weekend or side thing. And it was just this dream. This was years ago. So this would have been, I think, 4 years ago when the van life thing was going viral on social media. And it was just like this beautiful dream that our souls were calling us to, and our fear would just not allow us to step into. You know, I've got my job and I've got my house and I can't live without all this stuff in this house and all of these different, what would we do? Like, what if we break down? We don't know how to fix a car. I mean, all of these things come up in your mind. And so there was always just a reason not to. We just never really kind of did it. And then in August of 2023, That was our seven-year anniversary. We were in a really challenging time. And yeah, I just was really, really ready to make this plunge. And you still had a lot of resistance. And we had had a really big moment of conflict. And I had left the house to get some space. And it was just made very clear to me that it was time. It was time to do this. And I needed to do this. And I sent you a message and I told you, I'm doing this. With or without you, if you want to stay with the house, if you want to stay, like, you're more than welcome to, I'm doing this. And you had messaged me back and, you know, said that you wanted to come with. And so I picked you up and we went to the RV place in Portland down the road from our house and found this trailer. And it was such a beautiful moment because we're going to multiple places and we're looking at trailers and RVs and all these different setups. And I literally remember seeing ours. It was in the corner of the lot and it looked unlike anything else we'd seen. And we walked into it and we both didn't want to leave. Like, there was a very palpable, I don't want to walk out of this. And yeah, we bought it that day and we brought it home a couple days later. And that kicked off this journey.
Yeah, it was a really spark of the moment decision. Looking back at just where we were at the journey, we had been really waking up spiritually and making different changes in our life. And you were a little bit further along in terms of the surrender and really listening to your intuition and where God was leading you at the time. And for me, I was definitely dancing in between both worlds of, you know, part of me still holding on to our past life and our experiences in Portland and really committed to attempting to transition that into a more conscious lifestyle. It became clear through that process that that's not where God was leading us. It was more so a full death and rebirth that was asking to happen. And I'll admit, I was very much in that space of, you know, trying to have both. And it was you making that decision for yourself that really put me in a position where I couldn't ride the line anymore. And I had to make a decision, you know, am I willing to fully commit to this? Or do I want to stay back? Do I want to try and make both lives work. And it was a really important decision, and I'm glad that, I followed and allowed, my spiritual and connected, loving feminine to lead the way in that sense.
Mm. It sounds so much more beautiful after the fact, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was definitely not like that in the moment.
So, some background here, because I think it's really important for what we're about to share, which is a complete and utter dismantling and destruction of everything we were, had, and thought that we knew. Mm. And so to get to that moment, there's some really important background. We've shared a lot of our journey on this podcast. In essence, we're from Arizona originally, and post-college, we moved to Portland, Oregon to start a new life and follow your architecture career. And we spent a year working really hard there and really grinding and climbing the ladder in your corporate architecture and my corporate finance tech position. In summer of 2020, we bought our first home. And this house had so much energy tied to it because first and foremost, it was our first home together. It was the first thing either one of us had ever owned. It was bought at the height of what was going on in 2020. And so it was at that time a really bold and terrifying decision. It was a $500,000 house as first-time homebuyers in the middle of very uncertain times. Either one of us could have lost our jobs. We put a significant down payment into this home. And it was our dream home. When I tell you this home had been on the market for months, it was a full gut remodel. It was absolutely beautiful. It was on half an acre. It was a three-story open floor plan, stone fireplace, just beautiful, beautiful property, trees all around it. It was everything that we'd wanted. And so we went into this with full intention that we were going to raise our family in this home. And we poured our hearts and souls into this house. I am talking not just money, blood, sweat, and tears. We did multiple 30-yard throwaways of cleaning up this yard, just this labor of love all day, every day on the weekends for over a year, reclaiming this property that hadn't been loved. I had painted by hand murals all throughout the house. And this was also where we went through that really difficult year of grief and loss. And so this was the home, we went through our dark times in, which we've shared a lot about on this show. This was the home we thought we were bringing our daughter home in and miscarried our daughter in. This is the home I grieved my father in. And so there was a lot of energy tied to this house. And we had ended up having it for over 3 years. Coming up into this RV journey, we were like, okay, we're going to get roommates and they're going to watch the house for us. And that did not work out. And then it was, okay, well, we'll look into renting it. And anyone who's familiar with Oregon and the housing situation there, it's very risky to rent your home. You could very well have someone move in, not pay, and you won't be able to get them out for years. And so, yeah, that was very ill-advised by people close to us. And so it became clear we needed to sell it. And keeping it and paying the mortgage and doing all these things, it just, God was very clear with us, it was time to sell. And we'd been getting that calling for a while, almost a year, and ignored it. And because we ignored it, it cost us almost triple digits of profit because there was a housing market boom the year before. And then by the time we sold, we still made a really hefty profit. It's just a lesson of like, when you get these moments and these callings, the universe, God is guiding you, it's time now. And the longer that you wait, the less beneficial that decision will be. And the universe, the way that it works is, it's always going to reroute and work for your good in that moment. And had we listened the first time, it would have been a different situation. So we ended up listing the house and we get to this place of, we have a three-story, three-bedroom, two living room, two office house that is fully furnished. And none of it can come with us. We had made the decision. It was very clear to us that a storage unit was not the answer. We both knew we weren't coming back. And it just for us was like all or nothing. And so the entire house had to go. And we got to sell it all. And, that included a lot of different things. And I don't know if there's anything you want to share on the start of that journey, but it was really interesting, and something I want to focus on specifically is the attachment to the items. And I think this is really, really impactful for most people, especially here in America, where it's really founded around consumerism. So I would love to touch on those, but I'll let you share first.
Yeah, sure. Whew. And that house, even just in this moment, taking myself back to that space, you know, that was our sanctuary. That was our safe space in the middle of everything that was going on in 2020. But it was also a place where we found deep healing with one another. It became, through our spiritual journey, a space that was harmonious and that people would actually enter and find healing. Between all of the labor of love and stewardship of that land, it was really challenging to accept that God was asking us to let it go, because it just felt so much like an extension of me. It was because of that very reason that I see now, looking back, that that is why God asked us to let it go. We're not meant to be attached to things or physical property. We are here to steward for a season or for a lifetime, as long as God asks us to. We did exactly what was meant to happen with that house. We breathed new life into it. We restored the energy. We healed it. It healed us in many ways. And we were ready to pass it on to the next family.
Yeah, there's a lovely family that's in it now, and they are taking great care of it. And yeah, you know, it, something for us, I think we talked a lot about that was just super clear, was not getting a storage unit for this whole RV journey or van life journey. A lot of times people have family or they do get a storage unit. And it was really this mental concept of paying money to store objects in a box somewhere. And it just, it felt so much like trapping this energy and holding on to these timelines. And that may work for some people. For us, it was very clear if we were going to go all in on this, we couldn't keep these doors open. This lesson really applies to many things in our lives, right? Like whatever you're going through, if you are making a change, I would encourage you to go all in, because those little, oh, I might come back, or I'm gonna, you know, leave this thing open just in case, like that is a piece of your intention and your energy that is tied to the past and that is preventing you from being 100% present in this. So we sell everything. And, you know, this even included, like, I had had a big framed jersey from my father, you know, he had passed, that I'd received, you know. We had both had these massive, I think a lot of people relate to this, these big plastic tubs of childhood stuff that our mothers had kept. And I remember sitting on our living room floor for 4 or 6 hours, I don't even know, it was a ridiculous amount of time, going through these tubs and dwindling it down to one big shoebox each, and really being like, what is important here? What is worth keeping? You know, we're in this tiny space and we can't bring it all. And I don't really feel the need anymore to lug around yearbooks and school projects and just things, you know, even like baby items. There were just certain things that we had realized, as painful as it was, we were keeping them because it was important to our parents. How do we keep the photos and family heirlooms and memories that are important to share with our children without having to lug around this big tub of paper? And so that was, I think, our first really challenging experience, was deciding and realizing how attached to these things that we were, and how families just keep passing down, you know. And history is great and family heirlooms are great. That's not what I'm getting at here. It's just this energy. And the more people we talk to about this, the more people were like, oh yeah, I have that same thing my mom gave me and I actually don't really want it. And it just keeps, these things keep passing down. And it's this physical representation in some ways of this kind of ancestral karmic energy of these notions that I need to do X thing, whatever that is, to appease my family. And if I don't, I'm doing something wrong. And it's these moments, right? This was another huge lesson of, where are we making compromise for what we think other people want us to do? Or if we do something, we'll quote unquote hurt someone else's feelings. And taking this radical responsibility for our own experiences and releasing the responsibility for other people's experiences, because we're not responsible for other people's emotions and desires in that way.
This is a really powerful alchemization process that we went through. And, you know, starting with those tubs, for me, it realized how much I was relying on other things to shape the identity of who I remembered myself to be, rather than allowing myself to be who I am in the moment. And that's what I saw when I went back and I looked at the yearbooks and a lot of these, you know, high school memorabilia. And I realized these memories were not tied to my highest expression and how I see myself now. And so they were really energetic, almost like sandbags, holding me to who I used to be rather than who I was stepping into. And, you know, a big part of the home itself too, I forgot to mention in the previous section, was the grief around all of the timelines that we decided not to pursue. And that includes starting a family there and just everything that we had envisioned for what we thought our life looked like was tied to the energy of that home. And so it was more than just releasing the home and releasing these objects. We were grieving and shedding all of our dreams, all of our expectations of what our relationship was going to look like and what we had planned, right? Quote unquote, all of our wishes and hopes. It was a shedding of our entire identity as human beings, not just objects or a home.
I'm proposing a little game with y'all. We're going to keep track of how many times we cry in this episode. So there's the first one. I'm going back into this process and it's just wild how challenging and beautiful and alchemical and emotional it was. And yeah, the next thing that comes up for me is, you know, and this may seem silly and I'm going to be fully authentic and vulnerable with how challenging this was. For us in our journey, one of our biggest escapisms was shopping and materialism. And, you know, because we were living in that nightclub environment and the lifestyle environment, we were going out 2, 3, 4, 5 nights a week, partying and traveling. So in that, we had accumulated a lot of stuff, specifically clothes. And this had become such, I'll speak for myself, an integral part of my identity. I lived in heels and dresses. I think I had like, I don't even know, dozens and dozens and dozens of pairs of heels and hundreds of dresses. We had actually spent, I think like $50,000 remodeling our master bedroom and master bathroom. And so we had gutted this walk-in closet and bathroom and had done this really extravagant remodel with heated tile floors and floor-to-ceiling tile and custom walk-in closets, his and her closets. We went from a full walk-in closet to 3 tiny plastic tubs of clothes each. And we would do it in phases. And there were many times where I sat on that closet floor sobbing. And it wasn't even that I was sobbing over the clothes. It was that I was sobbing over the fact that it was this hard to get rid of clothes, that I had allowed so much energy of myself to be tied and invested into a material object. It was all of the memories, you know, I could pull out a dress and remember 2, 3 nights I wore it and something that had happened, you know, wearing that dress. And given the lifestyle we were living, it was pretty painful to see a physical representation of 3 years of our lives spent in a nightclub partying. And while great memories were also made and beautiful moments had, it just was so gut-wrenching to me that this was hard at all. And I think, you know, at least for me, if someone had told me this, I would have been like, that's wild. Like, you know, it's just clothes. I would really encourage you, go through your clothing and see, because there is a very, very deep tie. And I've come to learn after the fact, it's related to spiritual and psychic energy, because this physical object is on our body at the time that we wear it. And so it's way more than just like a memory in our minds, like, oh, this is my wedding dress or my prom dress. It's actual energy. And, you know, I also heard something really profound that was saying, like, if you are no longer wearing an item, I think it's like a year or more this person was recommending, but if you're no longer wearing an item, it becomes kind of like a black hole where it is actually taking energy rather than giving you energy. We were already like really good about if we bought something new, we donate something. That was a policy my mom had growing up. Now, though, we are so conscious. Every single item we buy is a conversation, a conscious decision. Is it in alignment? Do we need it? Do we have space for it? And what are we getting rid of in its place? But I just really wanted to hold space because it was really difficult for me. Right up there next to the childhood memory box going through, like, this was really challenging for me because I was looking dead in the face, you know, of all of these parts of myself that I had outsourced and that had become my identity. You know, I had fake nails and all these clothes and all this stuff. And it was really, really hard to look at that for me.
I remember that moment and it really hit me in my soul when I saw that. And even for me, it was really challenging to get rid of the clothing in particular. And I think that there is something about the clothes that we wear absorbing the energy and the memories of moments, but also how the mind associates the clothing we wear with our identity and who we are, how we look. And it's not necessarily a dangerous thing, but it's something to keep in mind, because if we are fully viewing ourselves through the lens of which we appear, then we're not seeing the full picture of our soul and what's beyond that. And so releasing this clothing and releasing these objects that had parts of our identity tied to it was, yes, painful at times and really uncomfortable. And what it did was, in stripping all of that away, it helped me see who I really was beyond all of that. And I look at these objects, you know, if you're familiar with Harry Potter and kind of the idea of Horcruxes, where fragments of the soul were actually put into objects, this is very real spiritual knowledge. We put our soul, essence of our energy, into the objects that we interact with, that we carry. And when we are not in communion with those objects anymore, like you were saying, they now act as a hole through which our spirit and our soul can be actually siphoned out into the universe.
You touched on something so important, and rather than sitting here and going through many more examples, because there was your kitchen stuff for you,
so
there was my fish tank for me, you know, all of these different things, you know, my bookshelf. I had this big bookshelf. I always wanted to have a big bookshelf, keeping every book I'd ever read and 100 that I hadn't read yet. And what it really came down to is this realization of, I am outsourcing a part of my identity, happiness, pain, etc., onto something. So for example, the fish tank, I remember the day it was time. I had a big 40-gallon beautiful fish tank in our bedroom. It was like a labor of love for me. I got that fish tank after my father had passed, and moving through like our miscarriage, it was like a pseudo mother thing, right? Like, I called my fish my babies. And so each step of the way, I realized, oh, wow, there's like hidden grief in here. There's hidden attachment in here to the materialism and all this stuff. Like, I feel like being surrounded by all this stuff. I'm safe. I'm comfortable. Like, look how much stuff I have. And it's so easy to say, well, I don't think that about my stuff, until you sit down and are like, okay, I'm going to, you know, get rid of all my clothes I don't wear, or all of my books I'm no longer reading, or whatever thing it is you have in your life that you have a lot of. And so before we move on here, I just really want to invite and encourage, you don't have to be a minimalist. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. There's nothing wrong with having things. Are they serving you? And are you keeping it because it is actively serving you in this moment? Or are you keeping it because it served you in the past, or it has a memory, or there's an uncomfortable emotion that you don't want to face in releasing it? When we do release these things, I literally felt like I had a new lease on life. 90% of my bandwidth and mental energy was unconsciously and subconsciously attached to all of this stuff, my dad's stuff, my baby's stuff, my fish tank, my books, all this stuff in my house, this bucket of childhood stuff that I never look at and lug around for decades to maybe give to my kid one day. All of that stuff was released and it gave all that energy back to me. And suddenly I had so much mental space and so much capacity for new experiences. And when I released it, I'm like literally moving my hands like a wave, like just this wave of energy purged out and 1,000 doors opened.
I mean, just look at the etymology of the word stuff. What are we doing? We are stuffing our life full of things. And when we get rid of all of the stuff, there's space, there's clarity, there's a lightness that comes.
It's making me think, I'm getting this really loud download of our outer reality as a reflection of our inner reality. And so the more stuff that we have around us, the more stuff that we have within us. And that is, I think, core lesson number one of this journey was nothing outside of me is me. And I can literally let go of and did every single thing around me and live in a tiny little trailer with, you know, just the necessities and be the fullest expression of who I really am.
That's beautiful. And what it did too is bring reverence back to how we interact with things. Like you were saying earlier, inherently having things is not bad. It's how are we interacting with the things that we have. And so since we cleaned the slate and lived a minimal life, now anything that we do bring into our life is very intentional. And there's just reverence that comes with it, an appreciation, a huge level of gratitude. And so we are interacting in a conscious way with the things that we have in our life.
So that's chapter one. We completely and utterly dismantle our lives, from our jobs to our homes to everything that we own. And we get this trailer, we park it in our driveway of our house as we're going through many yard sales and selling and donating of things, multiple full Tahoe carloads to various organizations of donations. And yeah, it ended up taking us 2 full months to do this process. And in those 2 months, we move into chapter two, which is we were actually living from night one. And this is how you know you made the right decision. Not only did we not want to leave it when we bought it, we parked it in our driveway a few days later, and we lived in it from that night on. This was our home and we knew it. And so we park it in our driveway and we start to try and figure this out. So we did a really interesting setup, and it's one of the best decisions we've ever made. Zero regrets, and we'll tell you why. We have a 28-foot Jayco J-Flight travel trailer. It is the number one selling travel trailer in America, and we have their upgraded model. So it has like all the fancy accessories. We have like speakers in our house and upgraded rims and different things. Our roof is walking grade, so we can get up on our roof. We have a full bathroom with a tub. We have a full kitchen, stove, oven, everything. A slide out, a living room, a couch that folds into a bed, and it actually had a king size bed in the bedroom that we cut down. And so we have this travel trailer and we decide to tow it with our Tahoe, which was actually my father's car. And so what a beautiful way to spend 13 months of our life driving our house and everything we own, which isn't much anymore, around the country in the car that I inherited from my father. Like he literally carried us through this journey in more ways than one. And so we move into this thing in our driveway and we start trying to, you know, customize it and remodel it and go through the painstaking process of realizing every single thing in our lives had to change. Like, for example, all of our cleaning stuff, you can't bring a full-size broom in here. You can't bring a full-size vacuum in here. Like, everything had to be RV friendly. And so item by item, we literally would sit there and have a conversation. Do we need this? Will we use it? Anything we bought, we had a rule. It had to have a minimum of a couple of functions because you just have to be that way. And we had no idea how to do this lifestyle. We had no idea how to make this work. And so we spent 2 months living in our driveway, dismantling our lives entirely, getting into this trailer and figuring out how are we going to travel and do this and make this work.
I remember going through that process and going through several moments of just kind of mini breakdowns and just frustration around the fact that I had been comfortable with my life the way that it was. I knew how to do things. I knew, you know, what to expect. And this really challenged me to step out of my comfort zone, which, if you knew me before, I was a very comfortable human being. Didn't like a lot of change. I liked things the way that they were. And my ego would really try to control that situation to make sure that it stayed that way. And so this was a really big lesson for me to be able to surrender and release control and be open to new ways of living. And it taught me to rely on myself and my partner and on God, to surrender to the unknown and feel equipped to be able to confront anything that did come up, rather than sitting there worrying about all the mights and the maybes and the what ifs. It was a really big exercise in being present.
You've mentioned it a couple of times now. This, I feel like, is going to be core lesson number two, is surrender. And something that's coming through is pattern interrupt. We don't realize as beings, I mean, really just be with this for a moment. Like, the majority of this planet does the exact same thing at the exact same time every day. Lives for a vacation every once in a while, maybe lives for the weekend, and then does the exact same thing, right? We drive the same routes, we eat the same foods, we have the same schedules, we work the same jobs. We have literally become robots. And something I was learning about in school was this kind of age of specialization. Like, everyone has one thing they do all of the time. Our brains and our beings and our bodies were designed to be these infinite creative vessels and to experience this majestic world and not live in that way. And we wonder why we're so depressed. That is the most infinite answer. There are a thousand reasons, but this is one of them. You know, we are not designed to live like that. And so this taught us, you know, we've mentioned on the show, the Surrender Experiment book by Michael Singer came at that time of realizing we're just going to go all in and say yes to life and not be in control. Because as we know, one of the core beliefs of the ego, you know, is the belief in control and being attached to things. And so it just was this like ultimate pattern interrupt. And I just really want to reflect to you, because that was definitely the hardest part for you. And I watched how profoundly challenging it was for you to let go of some of those tendencies. Something that we talked about in that process was kind of both coming to the realization that you might have been a little bit on the spectrum, and this really, I want to really like use intentional and loving words here, this really challenging experience of if something was outside of your routine and your comfort, you would shut down. Like, there was like an executive dysfunction shutting down. And I watched how painful that was for you and uncomfortable, and how much you surrendered and stretched yourself and then stretched yourself farther. And I'm just so proud of you, because the man that you were 2.5 years ago, of every single freaking detail down to the hairs on our heads of our lives having to be a certain way or you would be in dysregulation, is 90% better now. And it's just so great to see that growth in you and how hard you work to overcome that.
I appreciate that reflection. Thank you. It's been quite the journey. And you hit something that was really important there around, you know, people's daily routines and how it affects our mental health. We are beautiful, expansive beings meant to live life to its fullest. And when we are put in a box of living in the same routine, the same job, doing the same things, we are starving ourselves from our full potential of living life and what our souls know we are meant to experience. And so while maybe on a conscious level, we're thinking, yeah, this is life. Everybody does it. This is normal. you know, we should be happy in this because everybody else seems to be happy in this, then if I'm not happy in this, then I'm the problem and I need to take medication and I'm depressed. What if our subconscious and our soul know that we're meant for more, and that depression and that sadness is actually a signal calling you to your highest expression, to stepping into a life full of purpose and fulfillment? What if that anxiety really isn't over control, and the things that I thought it was in my life of fear, but what if it's the fact that I'm living in a really regimented schedule that I feel safe in, that my mind has created as an almost like really luxurious prison? And if I step out of this, I'm so uncomfortable with what life looks like out of it that my mind just goes into overdrive and thinks that I'm gonna die. You know, that's anxiety. And through pushing through that uncomfortability, that crunchiness, into reclaiming who I was and that power and that sovereignty, and saying, no, I can make a change in my life. Oh yeah, no, I can do this. You know, yeah, it's challenging, but I'll figure it out. And then actually figuring it out and looking back at it using some critical thinking, it really showed me, oh, there's nothing to be afraid of. And then that anxiety for me that I was experiencing really calmed down, and my ability to self-regulate really came back online.
So true. I was thinking too about during that time of, yeah, making this journey happen, also just the fear and judgment and projections of others, albeit well-intentioned and from their current, you know, frame of consciousness and love. We had a lot of people around us that were like, what are you doing? You're selling your house. Like, you're selling your house? That's crazy. That's your investment, which I do not personally believe that. You know, houses are actually a big money suck. And it's so easy to say it's an investment. It's only an investment if you sell it, and you're not going to sell it because you live in it, and then you just keep buying another one. But I digress. You know, we had a lot of people, family and close friends, that were like, how could you be getting rid of all of your clothes? Like, this is all your stuff. You love this stuff. Why are you selling this investment? You're not going to have a home. You're going to live in a trailer. You know, I remember, and bless her heart, and it's deep love, and I love this woman very much still today. My friend at the time, I had had a massive moment of just breakdown, like the peak, you know, we're in the middle of selling our house, we're in the middle of selling all our stuff, and you and I had had a conflict in this tiny space with four dogs, which we forgot to mention, and I just had broken down, and this friend, you know, had kind of suggested or insinuated maybe we were making a mistake and that it shouldn't be this hard if it was the right thing. And I really want to focus on that, not because, you know, this person is wrong. It was from deep love. And again, from their perspective and consciousness, it's really common in these situations. We've heard from many, many, many RVers that people will project onto you their unmet fear and anxiety and attachments. And that was a very real experience, because I really want to be very clear, just because something is hard or uncomfortable or challenging does not mean that it is wrong or bad. In fact, I have a personal opinion and radical theory that the hardest thing is the thing you should dive into headfirst. We have done that for years now. It has never led us astray, and it has resulted in us overcoming every single one of our fears. And I do not say that lightly. From jumping off of a bridge to overcome fear of heights, to you overcoming your fear of bugs, to me swimming in the open ocean with sharks to overcome that fear. We literally live a life philosophy of, if there is anything that is scaring us or causing anxiety, or that we think about that object and it's like, oh, there's an attachment there, it's an immediate do the thing, get rid of the thing, make the jump. Because we are radically living a life of surrender and acceptance and release and freedom. And that is really what came in the end, was this undescribable, I could not put into words the level of freedom that we have. Everywhere we go when we interact with people, they point out that we feel so free and light. And we've literally been told it's like you're floating. And it's, yes, the spiritual side of things and the deep inner work. And we are free. We have no mortgage, no bills, no attachments, no debt, nothing. We don't owe anyone anything. We literally have one bill, and it's our phone bill. That's the only contract in this universe we have. We are free to take ourselves and our house anywhere at any time. You know, I'm not glamorizing this life. We'll get into it more. There are many challenges. It's an adjustment. And RVers are some of the freest people I've ever met. And it really is just fully overcoming that fear, that attachment, that doubt, all of these different things. And so just a big lesson there of do the scary thing. Whatever scares you the most, do that. Like, if you want $1 million life coaching advice, it's this simple, y'all. You don't need to buy courses. You don't need to do anything. You don't need to read any books. Sit down. What scares you the most? Commit to doing that. And I promise you, at the end of that, you will be more free.
Mm. That right there. I'm just going to give that a little bit of space to to be.
Do you have anything you want to add on this one before we move on?
I do, yeah. This is a really, really important topic, because what we saw and experienced here was a microcosm of what's going on in our world right now around groupthink and what's keeping humanity at the state that it's at right now. And that is when somebody has the courage to take the plunge rather than finding support and unconditional love and encouragement from those around them, it is more likely to receive criticism, projections, judgments, and face resistance. And so we got to experience that in this, you know, decision to go into the RV journey, really going against the grain in many ways. And it's similar to the analogy of crabs in a bucket, where, you know, crabs, you don't have to put a lid on a bucket with crabs in it, because when one tries to climb out, the others will just pull it back down in attempt for them to get out. And so it's this constantly pulling each other down, and then nobody can leave the bucket. And so on the flip side of things, yes, follow your heart, follow what scares you most, right? Because if you look at a hero's journey, it's not, oh wow, Hercules did everything that was super comfortable and then became this hero, right? It's facing the challenges head on, and that is what forges us into our highest expression. It's not through comfort. That's the biggest lie that the ego tells us, is that you're going to be comfortable. It's going to be safe. It's okay. Just stay here. And I learned through years of suffering that the pain, the mental illness, the grief, everything that comes from being comfortable, it is not worth the small, in the grand scheme of things, the short amount of time that suffering exists to challenge ourselves to be a better version of ourselves. Because in that small amount of time, the suffering, while it can be acute in many ways, it actually results in a stronger us rather than just living a life of low-grade suffering that can really build on itself and feel daunting, right? The more we live in that space, it can feel harder and harder and harder to get out of. And it actually put me in a place of suicidal thoughts many times. And the way out that I found was to really dive in. My partner's saying, through. Yes, the way out is through.
Okay, that's the second time crying. No, it's so true. And I see this world and I see a species who has gotten comfortable living at a suffering level of 2, 3, 4, right? Oh, I'm in pain all the time and I'll just live on Tylenol. Or I'm depressed and I'll just take an antidepressant to dumb down the depression. The depression is still there. Stop taking the pill. And guess what? It's still there. The pain is still there. Stop taking the pain meds. It's still there. And this also goes in other ways we numb ourselves, right? This is food, stuff, shopping, experiences, right? There are so many ways this manifests. We are so clearly able to see why God brought us on this journey. This is a radical experiment of completely deathing and rebirthing yourself and really learning to rely on yourself, to not care what others think, because you will face judgments. And that is a whole other experience in this, you know, on traveling this entire United States of America, there was a lot of judgments and projections and fear placed onto us. And so it was a really potent time. I think that 2 months in our driveway in our old house, I actually think I cried every single day, multiple times a day. That leads us into this journey. And you are about to hear a magical tale. There is no other way. Here comes number three. There is no other way to describe to you what that 13 months of our life was. So we hit the road, I think it was a couple days before Halloween. So end of October 2023. And we finished beginning of December 2024. So it was almost exactly just over 13 months. And we're going to go through that experience. I really want to share two things. First and foremost, if you go to my Instagram, @amorousloveyou, in my highlights, there is four I want to call out. There's one that says Exodus and has a little van. And that chronicles our entire journey from the day that we bought the RV through selling our house through the whole thing to settling in Austin. It is a really beautiful. And at the end, it shows like a drawn 3D map of us driving the whole country. And then there's three other ones. They're called God Art Part 1, Part 2, Part 3. And it is all 47, I believe, national parks that we saw. So there are technically 51 national parks. Well, there's 63, but 12 are in Hawaii and Alaska. So there's 51 in the lower 48. Four of those, or three of those, are islands, and one of those is the St. Louis Arch, which is a super big scam and not a national park. So of the official landlocked lower 48, we saw all 47. And they're all there. You can see every single one of them. It is God art. There's no other way I could have found words to describe it. And so in this journey, we saw all 48 states, 47 national parks. We drove the east, west, and Gulf coasts and saw three Canada provinces, every major U.S. city, 50,000 miles. And I really want to highlight something, is that we did this towing with a 2007 Chevy Tahoe. Mind you, she was in exquisite condition, and though she should have had 280,000 miles, she only had 140 when we left. I believe it was 140. She's like 190 something now. So immaculate condition with very low miles. 07 Tahoe towed our 28-foot travel trailer. When we bought this thing in 2003, we bought it used. So it had only had one owner and they only used it for weekends. So while it was 2 years old, it was brand new. And then we bought a warranty for it, which absolutely get the warranty. And the reason we did this setup is because we could go drop our travel trailer off literally anywhere. We could put a wheel and a hitch lock on it and then unhitch and have our four-wheel drive Tahoe to go explore. Best decision we've ever made. If you do an RV, you either need to tow a vehicle or your RV is going everywhere with you. You do a van, you don't have any separation between car and house. So your house goes everywhere with you. I know 28 feet doesn't sound like a lot. Go look at that Exodus, because there's also links to the post that I made of the tour videos, and you can see we have an outdoor kitchen, an outdoor shower. Like, it's a really nice trailer and it's really big inside. So we set off on this journey, and before we set off, we had done a couple of trial runs, and it was really interesting because, yeah, I will never forget, I think it's also in that highlight reel, the day that we drove away for the first time and driving down our street and just a sobbing mess. I can't even palpably put words on the human emotion I felt, because it's the only time I've ever felt that emotion. I would try to describe it as the moment that you realize your entire life is about to change. And I don't mean in just like, oh, you know, I had a baby or something. Like, literally every single facet of my life, my routine, who I was, where I went, what I ate, like every single thing. I would imagine it's akin to like moving to another country. Everything was about to change. nothing from the old was coming with us. And so we go on these trial runs and we realize, wow, we've like really gotten ourselves into this. And there's some breakdowns in us, like inside, and some beautiful moments. And we realize, okay, we're doing this. And what I learned in those trials right before we hit that road was, it's you and me now. Here comes number four. It's you, me, and God. And we're on our own. You know, no one's coming to save us. We're going to be out there on the road, and we're, Lord knows what we're going to encounter. And you're about to hear some wild stories. But, you know, it's us, and we're going to figure this out together. And we're going to have beautiful experiences, and we're going to have challenges, and it's all going to be perfect because we got this, and we're strong, and we're powerful. So for me, that was the thing. So I just wanted to, yeah, share that invitation to go see visually this journey, and an offering that this does not have to be some big, fancy, expensive thing. And it can be beautiful. And there's just like a lot of preconceived judgments and notions around what this life looks like. And so if you would like to go see that, that is there for you to look at.
I'm so grateful that you did capture it, and we have the capacity to be able to see that, because this was both the longest 13 months of my entire life and the fastest. And while you're in it, it can be very much like going through the muck and just overcoming challenges and being in awe of all the beauty and the new connections. It can be really overwhelming. And it actually took several months to even recover from the travels. I remember when we were doing these trial runs, and I had some pretty intense breakdowns during that experience. Yeah, we both did, for different reasons. And there was a lot of doubt that started to creep in those first couple of trial runs, right? And when we made the decisions in our hearts to do this, we're kind of all in people. And so we knew that that commitment was there. And even with that commitment, my ego and my mind came in and was like, you can always go back. We haven't sold the house yet. This is uncomfortable. What if we just don't, you know? And it was a really beautiful opportunity to put into practice the spiritual knowledge that we had been learning, to be able to regulate ourselves, to be able to comfort each other and support one another. Because like you said, it was you, me, and God. And we had really learn to rely on each other in these moments, in this beautiful back and forth between this partnership, to be able to kind of cover each other's weaknesses and support each other's strengths.
It's always darkest before the dawn. I would really encourage you, if you are going to go on any type of journey, even if it's just getting rid of some item in your life that you're super attached to, or selling everything you own and doing this journey, don't give up, because it is always the darkest right before. And I have seen infinite examples in my life of people who start to make the decision and then think that they can't possibly handle the discomfort, and they give up. They move back home, or they go back to the thing, or they go back to the comfortable job, or whatever it is. And so don't give up. Keep pushing through that discomfort. And you're so right. You know, it's interesting, you had a much harder time on the trials than I did. And then when we actually left that day, there was like a visceral, what I understand now to be, purge. My body was shaking. I mean, it was a cry I don't know that I've ever cried before. Like, it was just this like sobbing, coughing, snorting, shaking, like, oh my gosh, we're doing this thing. And whereas I was really able to like full steam ahead, I got this, and processed in crying, I hadn't really processed the fear. And the fear like just overcame my being. And I mean, you were driving and towing for the first time our house out, and I'm just panicking, and I'm just like, what have we done? And all these thoughts, I'm seeing images of us getting into, you know, car accidents and dying, and our whole house being destroyed. And I'm just seeing, what if our dog gets sick on the road and we don't have a vet? And what if we get injured? We don't have health insurance anymore. And I mean, all of it hit me like a freight train. And you were there for me, and you literally grabbed my hand and you said, we got this. Like, we got this. God's got this. We got this. We're going to be okay. And away we went, which takes us into this super exciting portion where we're going to go through this journey with you and share wild things we saw. I mean, I don't even have words for some of the wild things that we saw on this journey, insights and downloads around just seeing this whole country and how diverse and vast it is. And yeah, what we learned along the way and just all of that fun stuff. Mm.
Yeah, it really happened in a beautiful way in that you kind of were overwhelmed with excitement and just this happiness to dive in. And that gave you the capacity to support me in my discomfort at the beginning. And then through going through that discomfort and coming out on the other side of it, I felt more embodied. I felt more peace within myself. And knowing that you were there to support me through that. And then it's almost like once you felt that sense of safety and security within the partnership, once this hit you, you were able to really lean into that. And I love that you put that in here because there was that moment where I was like, you know, we've got this. You and me, we've got God. We're going to be okay.
So away we go. We have realized this episode is much more suited in two parts. And so we're going to end part one here of all of this pre-work leading up to this because it feels really important to honor the alchemical magic that was that time of releasing everything and completely purging our identities and our patterns and our comfort and our lives to be prepared to move into this experience, which was a wild and magical 13 months. So definitely come back for part two to hear about that journey and what that has held.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It was definitely a task we saw with rose-tinted glasses to try and fit 13 months of traveling and spiritual wisdom and all that full life that we lived into one podcast episode. So stick with us as we continue the story. And I encourage you to really lean into your life because you are meant to live it fully. You are such an incredible and expansive being, and your potential is more than you can ever possibly imagine. So take an inventory of your life. See where your heart is calling you. What are your fears? And lean into them. Do the hard thing.
I honestly think that is one of my biggest pieces of advice in this world as you navigate your journey. Do the hard thing. I have tattooed across my heart space on my chest, courage over comfort. And it's such a motto of this journey, and I just really want to re-drive home. Don't worry about what's scary. Don't worry about what is on the other side, because it doesn't even matter what's on the other side. God has something beyond your wildest dreams waiting for you. Your only job is to make the space, is to open the door. And we do that by closing another door. And, you know, it's very cliche, but when one door closes, another door opens. I think 1,000 more open. And so whatever it is, that thing that's been on your heart, on your mind, deep in your gut, in your belly, do that thing. You know, start small, take baby steps. You don't have to do it all at once like we did. We're very extreme. But don't give up, and don't give up when it gets hard, because just on the other side of that is a life beyond your wildest dreams. Definitely check out those highlights and magical visual moments of this journey on Instagram. That was at Amorous Loves You. You can find us also at loving.consciously and loving.consciously.podcast. Sign up for our newsletter on our website, lovingconsciously.com. And we will see you here next time, where we will get really deep into the extreme adventure and challenges that this journey held for us. Until then, be well, go in grace, and we leave you with so much love.